Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 85, entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Vasudeva, Text 38 through 43. So we'll start with 38 and we'll chant this one responsibly. Saindraseno Bhagavat Padam Bhujam. Bibhranmuhu prema vibhinaya dhiha. Uvachahananda jalakulekshana. Prahrishta roman ripagad gadaksharam. Saindraseno Bhagavat Padam Bhujam. Bibhran Muhu Prema Vibhinaya Dhiya. Uvachahananda Jalakulekshana. Prahrishta Roman Ripagad Gadaksharam. Please chant. Saindraseno Bhagavat Padam Bhujam. Bibhranmuhu prema vibhinaya dhiya. Uvachahananda jalakulekshana. Prahrishta roman ripagatavachana. Vaishnavis.
Bhagavat Padam Bhujam.
Sahananda Jalakulekshana. Pravrishta Romam Ripagad Gadacharam. Saha.
He.
Indrasena. Bali, who conquered the army of Indra. Bhagavat, of the Supreme Lord. Pada Ambujam, the lotus feet. Vibrat, taking hold of. Muhu, repeatedly. Prema, out of love. Vipinaya, which was melting. Hiya, from his heart. Uvachaha, said. Ananda, caused by his ecstasy. Jala, with water. Tears. Akula, filled. Ikshanaha, whose eyes. Prahrishta, standing erect. Roma, the hair on whose limbs. Nripa, O King Parikshit. Gadgada, choking. Aksharam, whose syllables. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Taking hold of the Lord's lotus feet again and again, Bali, the conqueror of Indra's army, spoke from his heart, which was melting out of his intense love. O King, as tears of ecstasy filled his eyes and the hair on his limbs stood on end, he began to speak with faltering words. Purport. Srila Prabhupada describes this scene as follows in Krishna book. King Bali was feeling such transcendental pleasure that he repeatedly grasped the lotus feet of the Lord and kept them on his chest, and sometimes he put them on the top of his head, and in this way he was feeling transcendental bliss. Tears of love and affection began to flow down from his eyes, and all his hairs stood on end. Text 39. Bali Ruvacha Namo Nantaya Brihate Nama Krishnaya Vedhase Sankhya Yoga Vitanaya Brahmane Paramatmane. King Bali said, obeisances to the unlimited Lord Ananta, the greatest of all beings, and obeisances to Lord Krishna, the creator of the universe, who appears as the impersonal absolute and the supersoul in order to disseminate the principles of Sankhya and Yoga. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti identifies the Supreme Ananta, named here as Lord Balaram, from whom expands the divine serpent Ananta Shesha. Impersonal Brahman is the source of the text belonging to the Sankhya philosophers, while the personal representation of the Lord, known as Paramatma, disseminates the textbooks of yoga. Text 40. Darshanam vam hibhutanam Dushprapam chapya durlabham Rajastama svabhavanam Yanna praptau yadrichaya. Seeing you, lords, is a rare achievement for most living beings. But even persons like us, situated in the modes of passion and ignorance, can easily see you when you reveal yourself by your own sweet will. Purport. By ascribing to himself the degraded status of a demonic birth, Bali Maharaj denied any spiritual qualification for being visited by Krishna and Balaram. What to speak of demons like himself, Bali thought. Even advanced renunciants on the paths of jnana and yoga fail to please the Lord when they do not give up their pride and envy. Daityadanava Gandharva Siddha Vidyadracharana Yaksha Raksha Pishachasya Bhuta Pramatha Nayakaha Vishuddha Satpadham Yadha Tvai Shastra Sharirini Nityam Nibadha Vairaste Vayam Chanye Chatadrishaha. kechanod badha vairena bhaktya kechana kamataha natatha sattva samrabha sani krishta suradayaha. Many who had been constantly absorbed in enmity toward you ultimately became attracted to you, who are the direct embodiment of transcendental goodness and whose divine form comprises the revealed scriptures. These reformed enemies include Daityas, Danavas, Gandharvas, Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Charanas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Pishachas, Bhutas, Pramathas, and Nayakas, and also ourselves and many others like us. Some of us have become attracted to you because of exceptional hatred, while others have become attracted because of their mode of devotion based on lust. But the demigods and others infatuated by material goodness feel no such attraction for you. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami explains this passage as follows. The Gandharvas, Siddhas, Vidyadharas, and Charanas are adversaries of the Supreme Lord when they follow the lead of the deity and Danava demons. The Yakshas, Rakshasas, Pishachas, and so on tend to be inimical because they are generally covered by ignorance. There are some rascals in the pure mode of ignorance, like Shishupal and Pandraka, who are totally absorbed in meditation, the Lord is their enemy, and this fixed consciousness earns them liberation. Others in a mixed condition of passion and ignorance associate with the Lord with a desire for position and prestige. Maharaj Bali sees himself as belonging to this category. Yet Lord Vishnu favored Bali by becoming his doorkeeper in the subterranean region of Sutala, just as he favored the demons by killing and liberating them, and the Gandharvas by engaging them in singing his glories. On the other hand, the Lord awards sense gratification to those demigods who are proud of their being situated in the mode of goodness. Thus, they become deluded and forget him. Om Agyanate Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tenamine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pricharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Adashutarine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swamini Tenamine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Kirirat Swamini Tenamine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Here we have Bali Maharaj, who was visited by Krishna and Balaram. They are coming to the subterranean region, Sutala, to rescue Devaki's sons, as she requested them to come and bring back her dead sons. So they're meeting Bali Maharaj here. And so Bali Maharaj, upon seeing the lords, is paying his obeisances and worshipping them. And then, of course, we see, because he's a pure devotee, he's overwhelmed with love for the Lord. He's exhibiting the symptoms of ecstasy. He's crying, and his voice is choking, and he's embracing Lord's lotus feet again and again. There are several points, of course, that are mentioned here, because there are several verses, so I will try to focus mostly on one of them, because that's the way I can, focus. And I hope I don't repeat from what Hari Parayana Prabhu was talking about yesterday, because I wasn't here and the class wasn't posted, so I hope it won't be too redundant. But I thought I would talk about the pastime of Bali Maharaj and his example of surrender, because it's a very instructive pastime, and of course it's very relevant to us, because we are always faced with tests in our Krishna consciousness, and we can see how we can relate this to our lives, even though we are obviously not on the platform of Bali Maharaj. But there are certain things that we are supposed to learn from the Maharjanas, from the great personalities, previous acharyas. This is one of the items listed in Nectar of Instruction as favorable to execution of Krishna consciousness, is to following the footsteps of previous acharyas. And following in the footsteps doesn't mean imitating, but we have to see what is the principle that we can apply. So I will read from the pastime where Bali Maharaj surrendered his life. As a matter of fact, Bali Maharaj is, as we know, there's 9 processes of devotional service. So who knows? Gopal, do you know what are the 9 processes of devotional service? Shravanam? Vishnu Smaranam? He doesn't know. Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, and Atmanivedanam. So there are different personalities that are exemplars of each of these processes that became, who actually became perfect by each one of these processes. And Srila Prabhupada told us we should engage all of them, but actually one can become perfect if one just engages in some of them or even just one of them. And Bali Maharaj is has become perfected by the process of Atmanivedanam. And Atmanivedanam, we all know, means to surrender one's self completely to the Lord. And this is the 9th process, the last process, and it's the culmination, or it encompasses all of the other processes. All of the processes of devotional service are meant to bring us to this point of surrendering fully to Krishna. So Bali Maharaj surrendered everything to the Lord, and so he became glorified, and he became one of the 12 Mahajanas. Like that. So we know the story that Bali Maharaj is born in the demoniac family, and but he was devotee in the heart. He was actually a devotee. His great grandfather was Prahlad Maharaj, and so he, you know, he also had devotional qualities. But because he was in, you know, in the material world, and he was a king in a very high position. And of course, demonic association, there was some attachment there. So Lord Vamanadeva appeared, of course, to answer the prayers of the demigods who wanted the heavenly planets back to them, because Bali Maharaj had defeated the demigods and taken away the throne of Indra. So the demigods are also Sakama Bhaktas, so they approach the Lord to beg for their possessions back. So the Lord appears for several purposes. He appears to fulfill the desires of the demigods, but he's also coming to liberate his devotee, Bali Maharaj, from some material, the material entanglement that he was in. So we see this theme that comes repeatedly through the Bhagavatam. Maybe Vidya, you can help me. Vaishnavi, you can help me with that verse from the 10th canto that you helped me quote, but I forgot the paper, where Krishna says, 10:88:8, where Krishna says, when I specially favor someone, I take away everything from that person. Can you say it? You say the Sanskrit? Can you say the Sanskrit? Yes, so Krishna says, when I specially favor someone, I take away everything from that person, and then that person becomes rejected by his family and relatives, everybody. So then that becomes incentive for the devotee to surrender to Lord. And so, of course, we know that this is not always the case. Like Srila Prabhupada said, when Krishna takes away things only when they're impediments in one's Krishna consciousness. There are so many devotees in our movement that have, and devotees from the examples of the Shastra, from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, like Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who had great riches, but they were still undeterred from their service to the Lord. So they actually, Krishna didn't need to take away these things away from them. So in our movement also, so many devotees who have a lot of riches, they took birth in very wealthy families, and, you know, they inherited this wealth from their parents when they pass away, and they're still fixed in service to Srila Prabhupada. But sometimes so these are very advanced devotees that, you know, they're not allured by material opulences. But for ordinary people and for most of us, we tend to become, you know, intoxicated or distracted when we have material opulences. And why? Because we've been in this material world for so long, and we are so conditioned to sense enjoyment, and we think that we are in control. And so when we have these things, these material opulence, especially like money, they give us a certain false sense of being in control. You know, we don't have to take shelter of the Lord. We are taking shelter of these things. Everything is pleasant. So, you know, why should we surrender? So this was the case also with Bali Maharaj. He was, a king of the earthly planet, and then he conquered all the heavenly planets. So he was like king of all. So of course there was some attachment there. So the Lord came to take this away from him. So he can toward himself, his own service. And this is the great mercy of the Lord, really, that for a neophyte devotee cannot always appreciate the suffering when it comes and when things are taken away, because he doesn't have the vision. He maybe doesn't have still the faith. Just like a small child cannot understand why the father may discipline the mother, the parents, they discipline the child, you know, they send him to school. The child just wants to play. But the love of the father and mother is that they give the child what they know is the best. So it's like that with the Lord too. You know, we don't have the vision. We cannot always understand why am I going through this suffering? You know, but this is the way the Lord fulfills different purposes. If we are attached to things, we have a lot of things, and he takes them away so we can focus on him, because that's really where the happiness is. You know, the conditioned soul goes after so many things for happiness in this material world because of the influence of illusory energy. We are running after this mirage in the desert. We think the water is in the desert, but and the water exists, but it's not in the desert, it's somewhere else. So similarly, we are looking for love, and we are looking, you know, our soul is craving the love. You know, we feel this emptiness, but we are so conditioned to look for things and other things in this world. So the Lord knows what will really satisfy us. So he tries to allure us back to him. And if we don't voluntarily give things up, you know, if we are not strong enough and we don't take seriously the process of hearing and chanting, so then Krishna takes away himself. So I heard this story. His Holiness Giriraj Swami said in one class, and once there was a devotee that came and was asking Srila Prabhupada, can you please give me your special mercy? You know, I'm so weak, I can't follow, you know, give me your special mercy. And Srila Prabhupada said, you want special mercy? You know, what is the first installment of mercy? You know, that's the verse that we just quoted. Krishna says, if I favor someone, I take everything away. So you want that mercy? And the devotee said, no, I don't want that. Okay, well then do the, you know, surrender voluntarily. If we don't surrender voluntarily, if we don't do it on our own, then Krishna has to create so much havoc in our lives to help us, to drag us back. So this is a purport from the verse that describes the pastime where Lord Vamadeva appeared and cheated Bali Maharaj out of his possessions. Text 29 and 30. The translation says, although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound, and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Bali Maharaj passed the severe test put before him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is further proof of the Lord's mercy toward his devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes puts a devotee to severe tests that are almost unbearable. One could hardly even live under the conditions forced upon Bali Maharaj. That Bali Maharaj endured all these severe tests and austerities is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord certainly appreciates the devotee's forbearance, and it is recorded for the future glorification of the devotee. This was not an ordinary test. As described in this verse, hardly anyone could survive such a test, but for the future glorification of Bali Maharaj, one of the 12 Mahajanas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead not only tested him, but also gave him the strength to tolerate such adversity. The Lord is so kind to his devotee that when severely testing him, the Lord gives him the necessary strength to be tolerant and continue to remain a glorious devotee. So I'm reading here from the book by His Holiness Gurus Swami, Watering the Seed, where actually this is a transcription of the lecture he gave on this verse. And he talks now about further about this verse in purport. He says what I just said, that, you know, because of material attachment, devotees are afraid to surrender something to Krishna. And Krishna, to show special favor to the devotee, will take away the thing the devotee is attached to. So devotee ultimately comes to the point of full surrender to the Lord. Then he explains that, what does it mean? You know, sometimes it seems like it's harsh, you know, that the Lord is, you know, putting devotee through so many difficulties, you know. But how the Lord gives the strength that we need to pass the test. But what he wants to see is the surrender. So whatever we go through, how, and Krishna doesn't give us a test we can't pass. He knows what is our capacity. You know, it's like a teacher in the school. He gives us the knowledge and the test gradually, you know, according to our level, so we can gradually evolve and graduate from school. So Krishna gives us the test that we really, you know, we have the capacity to pass. He will not give us something that's impossible, but he wants to see our surrender. And when we surrender, then he gives, supplies all the strength and all the intelligence and gives us the mercy that we need to advance in Krishna consciousness. So what is this surrender? What does it mean to surrender to Krishna? You know, what are the Shastras talk about the six limbs of surrender. So maybe somebody can say, except, you know, maybe not the same people who always speak, but, you know, if you can say, if you remember, what are the six limbs of surrender? Mother Ragatmika. Mm-hmm. To be confident of Krishna's protection. Yeah. There are two more. Always being meek and humble. Yes, and one more. And that is the accepting Krishna as one's master. Accepting Krishna as one's master. Yes. Maintain and protector. So the one was the protector. That's the one we just said, being confident in Krishna will grant protection. And the next one is, sometimes it's translated as the master and sometimes as maintainer. So I guess we have to have that faith, at least that's how I understand maintainer, that Krishna will maintain us. He's our master, like the master takes care of the servant. You know, a proper master in a proper civilization takes care of his servants. The servants will serve and then the master takes care of whatever the servant's needs are. So we should have that faith that Krishna will maintain me, you know, he's my master, he'll maintain me, he'll provide whatever I need, and then Krishna will grant all protection I need. That's the second one. And then always being meek and humble. And this is the, we can see, you know, this is Bali Maharaj is exhibiting all these qualities, you know, he's exhibiting this great humility here, you know, he says, of course, now he's purified, he's met the Lord now after he's awarded pure love. This is the humility of the pure devotee. He's saying, you know, I'm not qualified. I have no spiritual qualification. I was born in the family of demons. So he's denying any qualification like that. And so the Lord cheated him. He said, you know, he asked for only three steps of land. And then, you know, we know that, you know, after he took two steps of land, there was nothing more left because the Lord expanded after, you know, and showed his real form after Bali Maharaj committed to give him three steps of land. So there was no third step to give. And then Bali Maharaj just, you know, offered his head so graciously. He said, where should I put my third step? You know, you have cheated me. You gave me only two. And Bali Maharaj said, please put it on my head. And of course, that's what the Lord wanted, you know. And it's amazing how many things he was, you know, what kind of difficulty he was going through. You know, he was not only taken away everything, but he was cursed by his spiritual master, Shukracharya, that, you know, he was cursed and rebuked and chastised. And then he was humiliated because he was bound. The Lord had ordered him to be bound because he was a cheater. Of course, the Lord was talking pretentiously. And it's explained in the purpose of these verses that he was joyful within. He was actually not suffering. And that is because he was fixed in his vow. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that because he was fixed in his vow, he was actually joyful. And so Srila Jiva Goswami comments that how a devotee has that kind of mood in Krishna consciousness, that no matter what happens externally, if we just remain fixed in devotional service, in our practices, in our vows, then we will remain joyful within, no matter what happens outside. But we can't allow ourselves to become deterred by these things that affect us, by the tribulations that we are put through. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains that just like even a materialistic person, an ordinary man, may leave the village and go to the city to earn for his family. So he may live very simply, he may not have a place to sleep, he will eat just a few dry chapatis and chickpeas, he will save most of his money just to send to his family. But even though he's going through so much austerities himself, but within himself he's thinking, my family is doing well, now my son is able to, is drinking milk and is becoming strong, so that's giving him the pleasure. So Srila Jiva Goswami says how a devotee has the same mood, that, because we know that the Lord will be pleased if we engage, if we follow his instructions, if we serve the spiritual master, follow the instructions, then he can tolerate all kind of difficulties because he knows my Lord will be pleased with me, my guru will be pleased with me. So that allows him to keep going on with enthusiasm in Krishna's service. And also the devotee is confident that very soon the Lord will be pleased with me. Very soon, I will go back and be with my Lord in the spiritual world. So this is all temporary. So these things give encouragement to the devotee to continue with his vows, with his devotional service, despite of material difficulties. So I will stop here. Maybe if there's any discussion or anybody would like to share how they were tested. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the nice class. Just recently, I think it was Prahlad Ananda Maharaj was giving classes. Somebody asked him that question. He says, or made that comment, that the Lord only tests so much out of a devotee where he can handle. And Prahlad Ananda commented that this is not true, because he says, look around. So many devotees have fallen to the wayside. So they didn't so-called pass the test, and they fell down, and they left the movement. So my understanding of it is, it's it's a surrender, but it's the intent of why a devotee is doing what he's doing. If he's doing it to please the Lord, then generally can pass the test. But if he's doing it in the sense that he's trying to please himself, he's using it as pratishtha, fame, adoration, distinction. He's doing it for his own glorification, without the intent of really doing to please Krishna. Then when the test comes, because it's all about the body, it's all about the individual, and then the tendency sometimes is to fall away. So anyway, I'm just, making a comment on what Maharaj would comment on.
Well, the thing is, when we say Krishna doesn't give us tests that we can pass, doesn't mean that we will pass it. What it says is that Krishna doesn't give us something that's not in our capacity, but we have the free will. So at every step, we have a free will. We have come to this material world out of our will, and we are tested every moment, basically. And so every moment we can say yes or no. That's Krishna's love, that he gives us the free will. So when devotees leave, that's because they misuse their free will. Just like Maharaj here comments that when Krishna gives the strength and intelligence, when does he supply that to the devotee to pass the test? When he surrenders. So the surrender is act of free of will. That means, just like we mentioned, there are six processes. In that moment when we are tested, accept what's favorable. Chant, take shelter of devotees, take good association, hear from the Bhagavatam. That's not the time to do, and you know, do all the things that are not, we know what they are, that are not favorable for devotional service, and then reject unfavorable, reject bad association, and then have faith that the Lord would protect you, that He will maintain you. You know, if you don't have that faith, that means study the Shastra, you know, chant more intensely, associate with advanced devotees that will give us that faith, and be meek and humble. You know, how easy is that? Well, I guess not easy for most of us. So this is what it takes. It takes to do these things. And then when we surrender, when we are in that mood that, oh Lord, you know, I'm so wretched and so fallen, please give me your mercy, please help me. You know, and we do what it takes on our own part, then the Lord supplies. So the fact that many have not passed the test doesn't mean that these tests were unbearable. This is because we have not done our part. And like you said, you know, there is, you know, there's a preparation, you know. I mean, when we follow, when we are supposed to engage in sadhana bhakti with a consistency, it has to be constant, it has to be daily. If we don't engage, then what is the chance we can remember the Lord at the time of death? What is the chance we can surrender at the time when the test comes? So it's a constant thing, it's a daily thing, it's a question of our own effort, and then you know following in the footsteps and doing the right thing when the test comes. So it's our free will that the Lord doesn't take away from us. You know, He's willing to give us the strength. He wants us to pass, but He cannot make us pass. You know, you can bring the horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. The Lord never takes away the free will, because otherwise there is no loving exchange, there is no relationship. So I think that's my understanding of why people leave. Not that the Lord gave them a test, the Lord is so harsh that He gave them a test that they couldn't pass. No, they were not willing to, I mean, they didn't do their part to pass it. So, Vaishnavi.
Supposedly, you know, they can pass the test, but it's like, it's always, you know, the Lord is so merciful that He will give us, like, and His love is unlimited, He will give us unlimited.
Another chance, yeah. So the chance will come, yes.
To pass different tests. Maybe the body is away for a while, but, you know, like, you can be there again and come back, you know, we... That's what I think.
I mean, if we just think, of course, yes, Krishna is there, and, you know, even these devotees, they will be given chance again, and, you know, the Lord never leaves anybody. I mean, He's super soul in the heart. He's accompanying us everywhere. He's even accompanying animals, you know, insects, every species of life. So what to speak of Krishna, you know, abandoning a devotee. But if you think about it, it's a contradiction just to say that there was a test we couldn't pass, you know. What does that mean? That means we think that the tests are passed by own strength. And that's what Maharaj writes here in the purport. He says, actually, we don't have the strength to pass the test. We have no strength to do anything without the Lord. You know? So the Lord is the one who supplies the strength for us to pass the test. But how, you know, when do we receive that strength and that mercy from the Lord? When we surrender. So if you say there is no, the test was too difficult, what does that mean? It was too difficult for me. We think we are the ones who are passing the test. We are the ones who have the strength, but no. So if we say that it was too difficult, that means we're taking away the credit. I mean, we are taking the credit, and we are forgetting that the Lord, you know, we think the Lord is limited. He can't supply enough strength. And so that's the false ego, that's the material consciousness that we think we're the doers. So if the Lord is the one who is supplying the strength, then there is no test we can't pass, because He can supply unlimited strength. Anything else? Yeah, Prabhu.
Yep. Just a story that I'd like to relate that was told to me personally by myself. Devotee came to the movement in the 70s, and he practiced Krishna consciousness for a number of years. And then through his material desires welling up in situations that were around him, he left the movement. And he became very much a materialist and very not so much a devotee. And it became less and less and less as Krishna consciousness was not practiced at all. No way at all, except for a little bit in the heart that welled up every once in a while. He became very adept at material activities, and he was situated very nicely that he had a very, very nice job, paying a lot of money, had the house, the car, the trucks, everything, really nicely situated, but extremely unhappy. So out of this unhappiness, this devotee just, because he's still a devotee, he started to just mumble Hare Krishna a little bit more than he normally did. Once in a year, he would think of Krishna probably a little bit deeper than he should have. And he started mumbling Hare Krishna a little bit. And this job that this person had was a kind of job that he could do till he was 80 years old. He did it very well, and it was very simple for him to do. He was well trained as a Hare Krishna Sankirtan devotee, so he used those skills in this occupation that he fell into, and he was very well paid. He was actually the highest paid person in this kind of occupation in this country, which is interesting. So, and he just thought, well, you know, this is nice. I'm going to, you know, continue this spiritual life another time, because obviously I've kind of blown it for this life. So he was content with just keeping on with being this materialist and trying to minimize his sinful activities after he tried to enjoy them deeply for a number of years. So he did start to chant again a little bit, little bit. And then all of a sudden one day he was called into the office and all the bigwigs from his company was there. And he said, and they sat him down and said, "You're fired." And the person was totally bewildered. "What do you mean I'm fired? I thought you were going to give me another raise or offer me some other promotion. You're firing me? We're firing you. You were stealing." The person was, I'll try to keep it in third person. The person was like, "What?" So Krishna took something that he could have stayed material with for the rest of his time in this body. Krishna took it away. No reason. He didn't do anything wrong. He got this job taken away from him. Okay. So then he's a little bit worried. Now I don't have my material thing going on. What do I do? So this person started to chant a little more. Not a lot, but a little. He was still enjoying a few things he shouldn't have, but he was, you know, okay, maybe I just need a little more of this spiritual thing in my life. Another bad thing happened, a really bad thing. We won't tell you what that one was. But it changed him completely. He thought, whoa, all right, maybe I need to take this spiritual thing a little more seriously. So another bad thing happened on top of that bad thing, and he said, that's it. It's not just go back and be a Sunday feast guy. It's not just say, hey, Hare Krishna once in a while. No, you got to be a devotee. You had a chance. You blew it. I'm giving you another chance. So Krishna does take things away, and Krishna does give you the opportunity, if it's in your heart, and hopefully it was in this guy's heart, that he would come back and actually be a full-time devotee again. So I was hoping that that story kind of tied in the whole.
Yeah, it's a perfect example, and I think we all have this experience where Krishna takes away things when these things become distraction. You know, so. Back to Ellen.
It says that if we practice one of the processes of devotional service perfectly, we can achieve spiritual perfection. Does it mean that in Kali Yuga we can also practice?
I'm not sure. Does anybody remember what Prabhupada said? As far as I remember, Prabhupada said we should engage in all of them, but I don't know. Is it technically possible to become perfect just by engaging in one of the processes only?
Nine limbs of devotional service is done when you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And in the Parbhur Prabhupada also mentioned that, yes, any limbs can give, but in this Kali Yuga, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has to be added with each process, whatever you want to specialize. So instead of all this, just focus on chanting holy name and here. It's complete.
Yes, Prabhu.
There's an example in the Bhagavatam of each one of these processes being performed by a certain person.
Yes, they became perfect.
They just performed one. They were just performing one. They became perfect.
Sukadev's
chanted, Parikshit heard, you know, like that. Bali surrendered everything.
But that's true, but because like Bhakti Allen is saying that, you know, sometimes because it was in different yugas and, you know, they did this process perfectly, is it possible for us to just chant Hare Krishna and not do anything else, you know? Is it possible at this time, in this age that we are living in? Okay, thank you. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.